Thank you. It's really good, eh? I enjoy that time. Praise the Lord. You know, there has been a little bit of a breakthrough going on around the place. Are you feeling that? I hope you are. And because God is doing some stuff, some really good stuff. And But last night I sort of got this message all ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I just feel like the Lord just says, no, Ivan. I want you to continue to build foundations. I know what that means, okay. But if you don't understand what that means, I got a picture. Got a picture of a house that's being built to go on the screen here for us. I want you to imagine that this is the designer of the house has already seen this house well before any work has ever begun. You understand that? It's been dreamt about. It's the architect has taken it and dreamt about what this house will look like. And I want you to know that that's the case with you this morning. You were well dreamed about even before you were well born. The architect knew he had such a plan for each person in this hall here this morning. There is nobody here who's junk. There's nobody here that's waste. Nobody here. We're all of value. We've all been designed. We've all been thought about. Imagine that. A creator has already thought about me before I was even born. That's so awesome. And during the course of the life, our life, that sometimes we find ourselves, in this place where God just wants to just. Now fulfill his design for us. And sometimes what needs to happen with us, some of us, is we have to find, where he wants to build, well, it's actually pretty rugged land. Things have happened and it's pretty ugly. And so there's a sense there's got to be a clearing away of the land. And then the very next thing that needs to happen, which is really key to the building, is that good foundations are laid. Now, if there's a message that I would want to share with you, a foundational message, this is it. There is some stuff that you will continually hear me to repeat. If you could say to me, Ivan, I'm at the point where I could actually tell you exactly what you've just about to say, I win. I win. Because that's what I would want. I felt the Lord just saying, just go through this. Because this is foundational for me, okay? Because I hear so many things going on around the place. I think it's like, I feel like I, right at this moment, as God begins to move by his spirit, I feel like I've got to stand in the middle of all this at the moment to say, this is where we're heading, folks, okay? So you understand, this is where we're heading. Because I think otherwise we're open to just building everywhere, looking good, da da da. And so this morning I just really feel the Lord saying, no, Ivan, just share what you would call your foundational message, because the foundations have got to be really, really good. It's the foundations that is causing the church to be in such chaos, especially in the Western world. We are in trouble in the Western world. There are many parts of the world today where amazing revivals are happening, and there's amazing transformational stuff going on. In fact, it's said that there'll be more people saved today than ever before in all of history. That's so don't we get caught up in the Western world where we just think, man, this is just hard. No, actually. Actually, the church has never been better off than any other time in history than what it is today. There are more people coming to Jesus today than ever before. A harvest is going on around the world. But it's not happening in the Western world. One thing is because I think foundationally we've got lost. We've got lost. So I want to bring you back to what I believe are the foundations. And the very first thing that I want to say to you is this, is that the foundation to which we build is this. It's called the greatest commandment. It's found in Scripture, and I've put the Scriptures up for you this morning. I'm allowing you to cheat a little, but in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 39, this is what it said. Jesus said this. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, he said. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The foundation to which we need to build as we move into the future. The foundation to which we need to is always this, that we love God first. That we are passionately in love with him. That we love him with our mind, we love him with our heart, we love him with our soul. We love him with everything that we can. Now, love is more than an emotion. Who knows that? I'm in love with my wife. That doesn't mean to say that I'm on this mighty high all the time about my wife. It's not like that. Love is far deeper. Love for me is a sense of commitment. I remember years ago when we were having premarital counseling. This is over 37 years ago. We were very young. We were early 20s when we got married, and the person who said to me, and I couldn't believe it. He said, Ivan, one day we were having a one-on-one time. He felt he needed to spend time with me. He says, it's going to come a day when you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to look across the bed, and you're going to look at your wife, and you're going to think, crikey, for what have I done? Right? You with me? And I honestly, you know, because I'm in love. You know, I'm the guy on the phone, you know, for hours, you know. That could never be. I want to say to you, those days have come. Love is more than the emotion. Love is this divine appointment that God has brought two people together, right? And hey, listen. There are some of you even here today, you know, that you've been through the brokenness of it all, and it is tragedy. I want to say this: it is tragedy. It's not the design of the Creator. And you're not a bad person. You're not an evil person. This stuff happens. It happens for Christians, it happens for non-Christians. If it started to rain right now, and if you aren't a Christian and I'm a Christian, I say, let's go stand out. Guess what? We'd both get wet. And that's the reality of the world that we're living in. But it is a tragedy. It is a tragedy. Hearts broken is a tragedy, I reckon. Hey, don't you? Anyway, that's specific. So the foundation to which we will live life is that we're going to love God. We're going to love them with our mind, our heart, and our soul. We're going to love people. We're going to love God. That's the foundational stone. Everything that might go on from this moment on, there's a sense that the very foundational stone is the greatest commandment, that we love God. Mm-hmm. What's this church going to be known for? That they love God and that they love people. They love God and they love people. So what is it that we're to do then? What is it that we're to do? Well, Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word seek means to intensely pursue. The word first means to make the highest priority of a life. This is Jesus. Jesus is saying, and all these things will be given to you as well. What he's talking about is that the things that we spend most of our time worrying about, which is about food, about, you know, paying the bills, about all that, he says, all that stuff will be given to you. It'll be sorted. But the most important thing that you and I need to do, the very foundational stone to which we are to live, is that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Do you understand this? To seek first the kingdom of God. And please hear me. I'm not yet talking about the church, am I? No. I'm talking about something far bigger than this. It's about my first priority. The first priority in my life is what? Seek his kingdom. So what is the kingdom of God? I'll give you a definition of kingdom of God. This is one that we'll use around the place. The kingdom of God, which is the next slide, which is coming, the kingdom of God is the reestablishment of God's rule in the lives of individuals and society. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God reestablishing his rule in your life and where you live. So I'm a butcher, and I go to the butcher shop every day. So what am I to do? I'm to seek first his kingdom. What is that? That in my work and in the shop to which I'm operating in, as people would come in, they would know something of the rulership of God. That's what I'm to pursue. Now, you see, you've got to understand this. So this is foundational. The foundational is this, that the vision of this church is that you don't meet my vision. That's not my vision. My vision is actually to empower you, to equip you, to live out your life so that wherever you are planted, you go seeking the kingdom of God. Right? So we've got people here that are in the family store. You know, you do some voluntary time. You work in the family store. So what is your life about? You are to seek first the kingdom of God. That wherever you might be planted, you might say, I'm just at home. Well, that's where God has planted you. You are to seek his kingdom. You are to seek his rulership. You're to restore a sense of this is what God's rulership looks like here. It's got nothing to do with the church. You with me? This has got everything to do about us infiltrating our community. So how are we to do this? How are we to pursue the kingdom of God? Well, Matthew 28, verse 19 says this. Jesus said this. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is called the Great Commission. Please note that it does not say, therefore, go and have many meetings. Please read again. Therefore, go and make sure that you have great church. No. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. And notice there he says, I like this translation because it says, of all the nations. I used to wrestle with this because I thought they got it wrong. It's wrong, isn't it? It should read, in all the nations. But you see, God's vision is nations. Nations. That's why when I talked to the guys who were saying, we're just about ready to go. You all packed up, ready for the rapture? I think we've got a little bit further to go because I don't know of many nations that have been discipled. I know of disciples in nations, right? But I don't know of nations that have been discipled. But it's beginning to happen. It's beginning to happen. There's been, and I think there's and the reason why I think a change needs to happen, or why we find ourselves in this place, is because generally the church, especially in the Western world, don't see it like this. We see that our role is to go and make good church. Please understand me. Our focus is the kingdom of God, God's rulership in every sphere of our world. And how are we to do this? We are to do this by discipling. By discipling. So I'll give you a couple of statements about discipleship let me give you a disciple definition. A disciple, then, is a wholehearted follower and student of Jesus Christ, one in training daily to obey him and live by the power of the Spirit. That's the definition of discipleship. It's somebody who has given themselves, who loves God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, who loves people. Okay, so that's our foundational stone. It is somebody who says that I am a follower and I am a student of Jesus Christ. And by doing that, I'll talk about it in a moment, but it's like two wings. One wing is that I'm going to train to obey him. And the other wing is that I'm going to live. I'm going to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so there's those two areas of the disciple. This is what we're about. This is what I believe God is building. It's foundational to what we're about. So what are you pursuing? We're pursuing the kingdom of God. How are you going to pursue the kingdom of God? By becoming a disciple. And then by becoming a disciple, then I will make disciples of others. Go into the world and make disciples. Couple then, here I am with these couple of comments about discipleship. Let's have a look at the next slide. All right, I'm mixed up. Okay, let me tell you about this slide. Have a look at this slide. This is what we measure discipleship today. If you go to most pastors, ministers of churches today in the Western world, it is changing because there is a new sound coming. The revival is coming. But most guys, you'll get, well, you say to them, how's it going? How would you measure a disciple? They'd say four things. People attend the meetings, pay the tithes and offerings, obey the rules, and become a member. Right? Okay? So, for instance, if I went to the Rotary Club today, they would say to me today, there would be four things I'd like you to do, Ivan, to be a Rotary member, Rotarian. They'd say, I want you to attend the meetings, pay the tithes and the offerings, obey the rules, become a member. If I went to a bowling club today and said to the bowling club, I'd like to join here, they'd say, there's only four things you need to do. Attend the meetings, pay the dues, obey the rules, become a member. You see nothing of this in the life of Jesus. You only see it in clubs. right? You only see it in clubs. A lot of churches are just clubs. That's all we are. That's not discipleship. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is the, I'm trusting it's the next slide. It's a couple of things. Oh, there it is. And discipleship is not a communication of knowledge, but it's a communication of life and spirit. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is somebody that doesn't communicate what I think you need to know. They communicate life. They communicate spirit. A discipleship relationship is I don't teach the other person to know what I know, but rather I teach them to become what I am. Jesus makes disciples. You got me? He calls people, and what will he do? What will he do with that person? By the time he's finished with the person, he will have poured his life into them in such a way that they will begin to look like him. That's discipleship. All right? That's discipleship. We need to be in relationships where people are giving us life. We need to be in relationships where people would carry something that we long for. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. He said this, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained, become a disciple, what? Will be like his teacher. That's the discipleship. This is so foreign for us. You see, at the moment, we at leadership are saying here at this church, what we think we need here is small groups. Wrong answer. We need relationship. Right answer. We need relationship. Now, however that relationship takes place, whether or not it be in a small group, whether or not it be having coffee, I like that one, having coffee somewhere with somebody, wherever, it doesn't matter where or how, we could get caught up. You see, a lot of churches saying, well, it's small groups. So what they're doing with their congregation, have you ever had this experience? You will go here. You'll be herded. They're herding people. And it doesn't seem to be working. Because I don't like to be herded. I don't like to be told where to be and what to do. I only want to listen to one voice. And that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. You with me? I want to live in obedience to him. And what he would call me to do is to be in relationship. We need to turn up relationships in the life of this church. There are some people who since coming here, have told me that it's easy to come and it's easy to go. Very difficult if we're in a relationship. Right? So foundationally, the life of this church, what are we going to do? We're going to pursue the Holy Spirit. I better check my notes now because I could go anywhere here. Okay, so I need to define revival, okay? I need to define revival because I'm the guy that says I believe in revival. Now, you've got to hear what revival is because there are, I don't know how many people in this room, but we've all got different definitions of revival. This is what I mean by revival. It's different to what a lot of people think. Revival for me is God moving by his Spirit. It's a demonstration of the Spirit. That's a key. What it means is that we don't, revival is not about sitting, thinking, and saying, oh, is this God or not? No, we know this is God. That's revival. Right? It's a move of the Spirit. It's a move of the Spirit. It's when you go, well, I don't think I would do this. However, God is doing something. You know, it's a move of the Spirit. So that for me is revival. It is about transforming lives. So revival is this. Our DNA as a Salvation Army is this, that there were people who would come in the very early days of our out of East London who were drunkards, but they weren't just one generational drunkard. They represented three or four generations of alcoholics, and they would come and they would find Jesus, and this is our history. They would stand up, never to drink again. No 12-step program. It was a one-step program. It was a one-step program. Come to Jesus and he'll sort you out. Right? Now listen. That's what I believe. I believe God still does that stuff. I believe some of you, us, even in this room this morning, you know, you're trying every sense of program. Look what we need. I tell you, if you just have one moment with the living Jesus, you will be different.
Yeah.
You will be changed. You will be transformed. Totally. That's for me is revival. It is the restoring his church to replicate the life of Christ. It's restoring his church that we might see Jesus in our midst. It is the empowering of the disciple to bring the kingdom of God into their world. That's what revival is. Now, please, as you read it, did anybody read that it'll be about church services? No, that's the key for me. When people say, oh, our pastor, when he talks about revival, he's not talking about, man, we're having such great church services on a Sunday morning that maybe we should have them Sunday night. Maybe we should have them Monday night. Maybe we should have them Tuesday night. Maybe we should have them Wednesday night. This night. We might find, because of a move of the Spirit, that people want to get together. But I tell you, we'll just want to get together. But it won't be around programming. It won't be. Do you understand this? So for me, revival is this, that he is actually empowering us to be Jesus out there. That's revival. That's what I believe God wants to do. Okay. There should be a picture there. Here's the picture.
It's a bird.
Yeah, it's an eagle. All right. I love eagles. I don't know why, but I just seem to like the eagle. I like the image of the eagle. It appeals to me better than the turkey. Okay. I sometimes have to confess to you, I feel sometimes more like the turkey. But this is what I'm trying to aspire. I'm trying to aspire to be like an eagle. Here, it gets really deep now. You got to really hang with it. We're just about finished here. For an eagle to fly, it needs two wings. Please take a note of that. It can't just operate on one wing. It can't get up in the morning and just say, look, I don't know, but I'm going to get the left wing. And, you know, you've got the day off. I'm just going to flap what? Right? Now, if the eagle is going to fly, really deep, eh? If the eagle is going to fly, it's going to require both wings. You with me? I define to you the disciple. The disciple is a wholehearted following student of Jesus Christ, one who is living daily, training daily, discipline, training daily. That's one wing. That's one wing. This is where you've got some work to do. This is where that when the Bible says that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is work you've got to do. This is not about, hey, Ivan, could you just have a prayer time now and pray about that? No, no. The renewing of the mind, does anybody know this, is a process. It's a process. It's work that you're going to do. Some of you are not doing too well on it. Guess what? That's why the problems are. You got to. Yeah, so this is one thing. We've got to. And how often should we do this? Daily. We're training ourselves daily. There was a time when I played a lot of sport. I was pretty fit. I couldn't go anywhere near anything that I once used to do. You know why? Because I gave up years ago doing it daily. You understand that? And because I gave it up, I lost the fitness to be able to continue to do it. Some of us here are like this spiritually. You got to get into the swing. But there's another wing that's got to fly, right? And that is what I call the power of God. This is the stuff only God can do. This is the stuff where we, like last week, Sammy's calling us. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's stuff where you go, this is God. But it will require that wing is attached to us who determines that we pursue this, right? Got to have both wings. Now, there are churches who go like this. Oh, I don't like, oh, this power of God stuff. That's not us. That. We'll leave that to the Pentecostals, eh? We'll let them have that, right? And then there's guys that, you know, because all we want to do, they say, is all we want to do is this daily discipline stuff. They've got their stuff. They've got, right? You hear me? It's all good. Nothing wrong with it. But listen, there's nothing wrong with this either. But it is wrong if we only go after one and exclude the other. So the foundational of this church is that we pursue both. Because there are two wings connected to an eagle that will make us fly. Yeah. And if both of those aren't operational, we will not be doing what we're supposed to do as disciples. Do you understand that? So there are times when we're going to go, and this is where I'm. This is why I felt like during the week, I'm all ready to go into another message. I wanted to preach about Elijah this morning. about the fact that, you know, that what he does, let me just tell you because I'll come back to the story, but what he does is he calls all the people together because he wants transformational change of his nation. And what he does, this great preacher, you imagine Elijah, you imagine if Elijah walked in the room right now, I tell you, you recognize him, you go, I think this is Elijah. I tell you, we're all sitting on the seat, we're all ready to, you know, this guy's got anything to say, we're going to do it. He's the prophet. He's the guy that when he walks into the king's world goes, oh, not you, Elijah. You know, he's a pain, but you know, so what he does is he gets all the people together, and what he does is he's on Mount Carmel, he's got a great auditorium, and there he is, and he preaches the word. He says to the people, it's time for you to stop your stuff. It's time for you to choose. It's time for you to get back to God. Great word. But the Bible says that people were silent. Now, I, as a preacher, I know what that's like. You give it your best shot, man. You go and you walk away. You think, man, I couldn't have done any better this morning than be able to. And no one moves. And it's like, oh well, okay. But then all of a sudden, what Elijah does is he moves into because this is a call here. Sort your lives out, guys. Sort your lives out. It's a great word. Come on. We've got to choose today. Who will we serve? He's there. He's flying there. Then all of a sudden he says, hey, listen, he allows the prophets of Baal to do their thing, but that's another story. But then what he does, he builds the altar. You remember the story? How many years? Does anyone know? How many years have they been in drought? 3 years. They've been in a drought. Water is precious. Water is gold. He builds this altar. He puts a calf on it. Does anybody even know what he does? He calls for what? He calls for water. He's calling for the most precious item that these people owned right this moment. And he says, pour it on that altar. Pour it on that altar. I tell you, this was a really moving moment. And he pour it on. And he's built a drain. What's that? A drain. Is that a good word, Glenn? The plumber. Anyway, he builds this drain. Yeah, he builds this drain. And the water goes in it. And he says, "Hey, I want more water." And they come with a second lot. He takes it, pours it. I tell you, these guys were in drought, famine, and he's pouring this stuff, right? And then he goes, one more time, please. It's not only been painful after once seeing it being done. It's not only painful twice. But for the third time, man, this is scrutinizing pain for the people who are watching. And I think that's where God's taking us. He's calling us to take the most precious things that we have in our life and he wants them to put them on the altar. And I tell you, it's painful. We won't want to do it. We won't want to do it, but he'll ask us to do it. And then what he'll do is he'll move away from here and he'll go here. And he'll say, God, do what only you can do, and fire will fall. Right? And no one walks around going, look what Elijah did. They all walk around going, look what God did. That's where we're going. That's where we're going in this church. That's where we're going. We're just saying, God, we'll do what we have to do. And I tell you, there are many messages that have got to be spoken about this stuff. But there are times through this whole process, not where we go, oh, we'll only focus here. No, no. We will be focused on the fact that as we go chasing stuff on a personal discipline way, that we are seeking more of the power of the Holy Spirit to be evident among us. You'll soon get to know with me, and that is this, you'll soon get to know that sometimes I'll give you the impression that it doesn't really matter. Like somebody here might say to me, Ivan, I'll never be an officer, right? You're not, no fight with me. No fight with me. Someone here says, Ivan, I'd never be a soldier. Man, I'm never going to wear one of those. Look at that. Look, I'm never going to wear one of those uniform things. That's no problem with me at all. Honestly, this is how I've led 37 years. Not a problem with me. Because if God shows up, you'll do it. God shows up. I got no worries. I got no worries. The person who says to me, Ivan, I am addicted to this thing right at this moment. I cannot be free. Surely you wouldn't love me because I did it. No. I want you to understand. I understand. But when God shows up, you'll change. You'll change. And I could bring in person after person after person who've said to me over the years, Ivan, I'll never do this. I'll never go here. No way. And that's fine. Yeah, good, good. Please take that stand. We had one guy in the church, in our last church, we used to say to people, would they like to become soldiers? That's membership, if you like. It's more than that. I hate the word membership. But anyway, it's joining an army. It's not being in the militia. Do you understand that one, Shane? It's being a signed up, committed soldier. And we had a guy who used to say, oh, you'll know him. Anyway, I'll tell you the story. And he used to say to me, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. I said, that's fine. He said, in fact, if you have classes telling people why they need to look at this, do you mind if I run classes to say why you shouldn't do it? Right? And I said, man, yes, please. I'd love that. And that's what he used to do. He didn't do it like me. I was more structured. I used to call people to come meet with me. But this guy would just go around and just be very clear about telling you why you shouldn't. And then one day he rang me up. He said, Ivan, this is really embarrassing, but he says, I don't need to do this, but next Sunday I need to do this. Would you be able to enroll me as a soldier? And I said, you, Evo Piper? Really? Really? What am I going to do with the ministry that you carry around this place, that you tell people not to do it? That's a great ministry. So the following week, before I enrolled him, I had to tell the church that we had a ministry vacancy because the guy who wanted to tell everybody the reasons why was now not. Why? Because he had an encounter with God. That's what we need around here. Please, I don't want hype. I don't want rev up. I just want a raw encounter with the living God. That'll be enough. You with me? I'm past. You know, I've watched different things that happen, and it's called revival and renewal, and it's like, oh, crikey, it just looks like it tires me out. I don't want that. I just want God. You with me? And that's what's happening around here. That's what's happening. God is beginning to move by his spirit because he knows that that's my heart. I'll just go, yay, God. I see you moving. I see you moving. So every one of you, I want you to know, we're all at different journeys. We're all at different places. And every person is okay where they are. You say, oh, no, I should be better. Oh, well, that's your impression. All right, who am I to judge? God already knows where you are. So we don't need to feel like we have to play act, or we just be ourselves. You're allowed to be you, mess and all. Why? Because I'd like to be me, mess and all. But we lay foundation and we say, God, I'm going to pursue you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in my world, as it is in heaven. And it's not about meetings. It's about an army rising up and making a difference in our day. God bless you. God bless you. A couple of Sundays ago, we prayed with Chris, and I was just saying to him, I was talking to somebody at THQ, and I was sharing a testimony, because I'll do this. I'll talk about what God does. For those of you who weren't with us, but a couple of Sundays ago, Chris came forward for prayer. And while he was praying, he announces to all of us that he can see. He had problems with his left eye, and he couldn't see out of his left eye, and all of a sudden he could see. I don't understand that. Okay, I don't understand. I do read about it in the Bible. Right? I will go, yay, God. I'll go, yay, God. Because I don't want anything to shut me down from God being able to do what God wants to do. Will there, in the days to come, could there be abuse in that? You betcha. But we'll have to deal with that when it comes. But what I'm saying, so I talked to somebody during the week at headquarters, because I like to tell THQ these types of stories. And they said, man, could you get Chris in front of a camera? I was just talking to Chris this morning, mate, and he could share that. We'll put it on the site, you know, because that's just a great testimony of what God is doing. But that's not all that God's doing in this place. God's doing something in everybody's life, and it's all different. It's all, and you might go, oh, well, how come I can't have Chris's experience? Because you're not Chris. You with me? What can I do? You know, no. All we can do together is say, God, I want more of you. That's all we can do. And then he begins to move and have his way. So as we, I'm going to ask the team to come. We're just going to sing that chorus, that song again that they had. It's, you know the song? Yeah, that one. That last one, Jamie. All right, that last one. That was a good one. And as we sing the song, you think I'm bad? I got a mate of mine to speak at Kingdom Conference, and it's Saturday night, and he preaches what I would say one of the best messages I've ever heard, ever. You know, and then he says, we're going to have prayer time now, but he says, I'm too tired for this stuff. So if you want to come forward, come forward, and we'll be privileged to pray with you, but I'm just too tired. I loved it. Because what he was doing was going, well, God, unless you show up, it'll only be man. That won't be any good. And I love that. I want you to know, church, that's how I operate. You'll most probably see me get quite flippant at this moment, quite what I'm doing. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm diving out of this moment, allowing you and God. Because that's all you need this morning. There's some of you here that need to just come before him and say, God, I need to become a disciple. There's some of you here this morning that just need to come before the Lord and say, God, I need more of you. There's some of you here this morning, you have got needs. You're looking for a healing. Well, please come. Come to somebody. Come to somebody. Look, Linda, she's freaking out, but Linda talks to me about she's finding that sometimes her hands get hot. She's saying to me, what's that about, Ivan? Well, that's a healing ministry right there. I've seen people go and say, will you just put your hand on me? And there is something in part by means of impartation that happens at that moment. I don't know why, I can't explain it, but I've seen it happen so many times. And Linda's just saying, look, this is what happens to me. So why don't you go to Linda and just say, look, put your hand on me. Will you pray with me, Linda? Many of you here are beginning to open yourself up to another layer of the Holy Spirit, because there is more. On the day of Pentecost, they got filled with the Spirit. In Acts 4, which is about 2 years later, they got filled again. They didn't need to get filled again. Yes, they did. There's more. You say, I got filled last week. No, there's more. I got filled this morning. No, there's more. Let this be the hunger of this church. So God bless you. I hand you over to the worship team. And I call you just to come and pray with each other, minister with each other, more of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Thank you. So, Father, we pray this morning, just have your way in our lives, dear God. Father, we pray that you would build this foundational message into our life, Father, in such a way that when the storms come, not if the storms will come, but when the storms come, Father, we'll stand strong in the midst of the storms of life, because we are a people that love you, God, with all our heart and with all our mind. We are a people, God, who love people. We are a people today who are seeking first the kingdom of God. We are a people today that are going to do this by discipleship, Father, by pouring into lives of other people and allowing others to pour their life into us. And Lord, we are a people, God, this morning, who just want, dear God, to flow like an eagle, to fly like an eagle, Father. Lord God, I pray. Lord, I pray, Father, just have your way around this place now. Thank you for what you're doing this morning. Come with us as we leave this morning. Lord, have your way, we pray. And we ask it in your name. Amen and amen. God bless you, folks. God bless you this morning. Please continue to pray. If that's what, have coffee, that's what you want to do. There are one or two who are talking about putting up some sort of a coffee downstairs and allowing a place where people can just come and have lunch. And things are starting to happen. People are starting to dream dreams, and I'm ready for it. I'll be the first for the coffee. God bless you. God bless you. Jesus.